So turn your Bibles to Leviticus. And that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And we're going to read from the 25th chapter. Some of you have never made it to the 25th chapter of Leviticus. You got just bogged down and you skipped on over to Samuel, because Samuel's a lot more fun reading. And 1 Kings, a lot more interesting reading. But there is something about reading through the Bible. And I read through the Bible every year. And I got to Leviticus. And Leviticus 25 and 23, and something just jumped off the page. And at the end of the service this morning, we're going to celebrate communion. And so just prepare your hearts for that. But there's value in dedicating yourself to the Word of God. And as you're reading through, as you grow in the Lord, I promise you this. I started reading the Bible daily when I was just 12 years old. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't get a lot out of it at that point. But I established a discipline in my life. And it amazes me as I read through the Word every year what suddenly I see that I've never seen before. And in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, I want to talk to you this morning about being a traveler. And it says, "The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently." And at this point, the Lord is giving them the law of how they are to govern and function in the land of Israel. "For the land is mine." And there's a capital on mine there. It's the Lord's. "For you are but aliens and sojourners with me." The New Century Version translates it this way from the Hebrew. It said, "The land really belongs to me. So you can't sell it for all time. You are only foreigners and travelers living for a while in my land." Now let that sink into you. So if you own a house, if you own a piece of property, I don't think it'll do you much good to tell the government when it comes tax time it's not really yours. I guess you could write that down and say, "This doesn't belong to me, this belongs to God Almighty." But the Word of God says that it doesn't really belong to you, it belongs to Him. And you are just a traveler living for a while in my land. Now we need to grab hold of this in our lives, because I promise you, this will change the way you live. Now, for some of you, for me, this gives me great hope. Because if you woke up with aches and pains this morning, here's the good news. You don't have to live with them forever. But you get to live with God for forever. You are just a traveler. You're just temporary. And so much of how we think is about how we live and how we're going to live. But this here tells us that, hey, we're just traveling. And when you travel, we went on vacation recently and went on a cruise. How you travel is different. Your whole mindset. I mean, one of the most important things to me, because we had gone on a cruise a year before, and we almost missed the boat. I mean, it was close. I had a passport. Julie just had a birth certificate. And you know, if you're in a foreign country and you just have a birth certificate, you're stuck. So this time, with the crew we were going with, I made sure that my wife had a passport, because I didn't want to have to stay in Mexico with her. And we could both get out of there. So I'm thinking, Mexico's not my home. This isn't your home. You are just traveling through. And so much of how we think in our lives, it needs to change. You know, when you're in school, man, I just wanted to get, when I was in elementary, I just wanted to get junior high. And then when you got to junior high, you just wanted to get to high school. And when you got to high school, especially your freshman year, man, you wanted to be a senior. And then when you got to be a senior, oh man, suddenly it's college. ACT. Where am I going to go to college? And you're just thinking about, okay, now I got to get to college. And now you're thinking when you get to college, then you got to decide what you're going to study. And then sometimes you get out of study, get in out of 4 years. I'm going to try not to use you as illustration, Jen. You discover, I don't want this. And you find yourself at it again. And then you get married. Man, you don't, you know, some of you girls, you prayed that the rapture wouldn't take place. I know my sister did. She just wanted to get married. Please, Jesus, don't come till I get married. Some of you girls that are married, don't laugh too hard. You think it's not all it's cracked up to be. And so you thought, well, I'll have children. Then I'll really be happy. And then you were waiting for 18 years for them to move out. And then you thought, retirement, if I can just retire, and you need to plan for retirement. Flo's getting the victory over there. I can just plan for retirement for the golden years. And then you that are retired and in your 60s and 70s and 80s, you're still looking for those golden years. Now, you need to plan your life. But more than anything, you need to know where you're going and how you're going to move. And number one, you need to know we are not permanent. You're not permanent. We're aliens. We're not permanent residents. You've got temporary status. I've lived overseas in two different countries. And when I lived in Belgium, I had temporary status there. I had to go through a bunch of stuff to study in Belgium. And I had to carry a alien registration card with me all the time. And if the police pulled you over, and they would just randomly check you. And if I didn't have that on me, I went immediately to jail. And I would be deported immediately from that country. That's a temporary status. You have a temporary status here. And you need to know that you are not permanent. And in knowing that, you need to have a plan, a detailed plan for how you're going to live and move from this life to the next life. Psalms 144 and 4 says, man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Now, there's a shadow there when I move my hand across my Bible. Maybe you've got one there in the lights. Just anybody see a shadow? You see a shadow? That's all you are. It's just gone. A breath. You've taken multiple breaths. That's man's life here on earth. Now, the Word of God, we only interpret it in the light of all other Scriptures. So all other Scriptures have to confirm the truth of the Word. So James 4:14 says in the New Testament, you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. When you pour that scalding cup of hot coffee in the morning and that vapor comes off of it and then it's gone, that's your life. Now, don't get depressed, because in reality, that's a good thing. I'm glad I don't live in Belgium anymore. And all those that don't like the new president, they are welcome to move to Canada. And I promise you one thing, they will come home. What are you waiting for? What are you looking for? What you're looking for will never be found in this life. Because what you're looking for is an eternal home. It will never be found in your children. It will never be found in money. It will never be found in a cigarette. It will never be found in vacation. You can't find it in your spouse. You can't find it in a new truck. You can go to the gun show this afternoon and buy a new gun, and you will not find it in that. It can only be found in your God. And that is what in your life you need to be yearning for. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life." Let me just stop right there. Well, let me read on a little bit. "Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat." Now, we can be sitting and we can be eating and we can be talking about other restaurants and other food. We are really worried about our food. And he says, that was a good from Pastor Dustin. He hasn't eaten since 8 o'clock last night. Y'all check with him, back with him, see how that diet's working out. "Or what you will drink for your body as to what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and your body more than Nike?" Wait, "your body more than clothing?" Said that for the teenage boys. Do not be worried about your life. I don't know what some of us would do if we weren't worrying about our life. That whole progression I told you from elementary to retirement, that's a lot of our lives. But God says, stop worrying about your life. And what He's telling us is you need to worry about your eternity and your relationship with Him. And it even goes on here and says, man's life is like the grass. Grows up and you cut it down. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And that's not just talking about when we come and we give our tithe and our offering and we devote ourselves to the Lord and God pours down blessings upon our life. But it's talking about our forever, that everything that you want, everything that you desire, everything that you hope for is found in God. So stop being worried about your life and know where you're going. You've got to know where you are going. Not where you're going to go to college, young person. But you've got to know where you're going. And you've got to make a determination in your life. What is your destination? What is your destiny? And you know, sometimes we talk about destiny in the Christian life. You know, if we're destined to be a pastor, or are you destined to commit yourself as a public servant and teach school, or destined to be a deacon in the church? What is your destiny? But more than anything, your destiny needs to be that you know where you are going and what you're looking for. Because what you're looking for is not seen. I love this about Abraham in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 9. Because this whole thing with Abraham, he spends the majority of his life. First of all, he goes to a land he's never seen before. And then God gives him a promise when he's an old man, when he's already on Social Security, and says, you're going to have a son. And so he's focused, it would seem, on this. But in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 9, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. We can relate to that. And you know, that's part of it. God doesn't tell you everything in your life. But by faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents, fellow heirs of the same promise. In verse 10 is where it's at. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for something that was not here on this earth. Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come. And the realization of what we seek is clear. And we have to keep it clear. We have to know where our hope is. Paul Tripp says, here is the problem. Most of the things we hope in and hope for will disappoint us. The reason is simple and clear. If your hope is not connected to forever, your hope will somehow die. And you see, Abraham's hope in Isaac, in the promised land, it never died because his hope wasn't really in those things. His hope was in a city that he never saw until he breathed his last. His hope was not in something like a child that he could lay hands on and change its dirty diaper. His hope was not in a piece of property that he could pay taxes on every year. His hope was in something that was out of this world. And it was because of that that his hope never died. Your treasure, where your heart is, there is your treasure. And you are not to be the center of your world. And this world is not to be the center of your life. The center of your life is your hope in God, is your hope in what you will never see in this life. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, if you're going to follow me, go and sell everything you have and come follow me. And he couldn't do it. So what was he following? I think he was following his career plan. I think his financial portfolio had turned out just like his financial advisor had told him. Pity that guy's gone, isn't it? But he had one that came to him, his spiritual advisor. And he advised him to do something that was totally outside anything that the world would say. Or he would say. You see, he had placed his hope in his riches. So how are we to travel? Paul Tripp says again, living with forever in view gives you an unshakable reason for hope. And in Luke 18, beginning verse 18. I want to read some of this, of the story of this young man. Because what we're looking at right here, how do we travel? Because we're travelers, right? So we need to know, if we're going to get to our destination, how to travel. And he says, and a ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That is a good question, isn't it? That is the question. I mean, that's a question. I had professors in college, and they would say, I had one that said, I will give anyone an A who will ask a good question this year. If you ask a good question, I'll give you an A. No one asked a good question. I should have asked this question. Of course, he would have said, what are you doing here, boy, if you don't know the answer to that one? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. Did y'all hear all that? I'm going to read those one more time. Do not commit adultery. The scripture says, you look at a woman with lust, that's adultery. Do not murder. Scriptures say that if you hate someone, you're guilty of murder. It says, do not steal. Do not bear false witness. That means stop talking so much. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. What a kid. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. I think Jesus paused. And he said, sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. He became very sad because he was extremely rich. He was shook up. And he walked away. The lesson I want us to get this morning from this is travel light. Travel light. You see, this man, his God was his wealth. Where is your treasure? Well, his treasure was on earth. It says there that if he would do what Jesus told him to do. Now, I don't think Jesus is telling anyone this morning to go out and do what he told this man to do. But he said, for you, because each of us, in each of our lives, God has a different plan for us. And he said, if you will do this thing, you will have treasure in heaven. It's kind of like the wealthy man, this is a joke, that he prayed and he said, God, I worked hard my whole life and I just want to take two suitcases with me to heaven. And so God sent an order down and he said, listen, when this man arrives in heaven, we're going to make an exception for the first time anyone in history, the universe, this man's going to get to bring two suitcases to heaven. And man, all the angels were excited. St. Peter was excited. John was excited. And he came to the pearly gates and he was carrying his two big suitcases. And he sold everything he had and converted it to gold bars. And they laid the suitcases up on the table and Peter said, I want to see what's in them. I just can't wait to see what's in them. And they opened the suitcases and there were those gold bars. And John said to Peter, what's in the suitcases? And he said, it's paving material. Let me tell you, I want my treasure in heaven. I want my reward in heaven. That's why, let me tell you, that's why there's a false doctrine out there in the prosperity gospel that says if you give, you will get. The Word of God says if you give what He called you to give, what Brother Willie quoted this morning from Malachi, then you are storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Never mind your 401k. Put your tithe in. Because, man, this is temporary. And the thing is, I've seen some of us laid everything up, and then you go and break a hip. You get sick. And the doctors in the nursing homes just get all everything. Store up for yourself something that will last forever. But see, that begins with your mindset. Your mindset has to change. It goes back to Leviticus when it says you can't sell the land for all of time because it's not really yours. It's God's. And everything you have came from God. And you've got to trust in His goodness. It's His. It's His. And He says, you're just a traveler. And so how are you supposed to travel? You're supposed to travel light. He goes on, in fact, in that story, and the disciples said, man, who can get into heaven? And Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man. Now, He wasn't picking on rich men. He said, it's as hard for them to go through a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And you're going, well, hey, that's impossible. But in Israel at that time, they had a gate. And for those merchants that would get late to the city after they had closed up the gates, there was a small gate that they had. It was low, about 3 feet, so that horses and so on couldn't just charge right through it. And it was called the Eye of the Needle, and it required for them to get the camels, which were their semi-trucks of that day. They had to take everything off of that camel. And then that camel would get down, and he would crawl underneath that gate. But they had to unload everything from him. You need to spiritually unload everything. Hold on to the things of this world lightly. You've got to travel light. We're to travel light. You know, we can, if we just pay attention to life, we can learn even a lot of the biblical, because God created the world. He created the universe. He created the circle of life. You know, if we just pay attention to life, we can see that this is true. Because as we get older in life, what do you start to do? You start to downsize. Am I right? You start to downsize. Don't you see that that's God telling you to prepare for eternity? You start giving things away. I had to go to my grandmother's house. She wants to give me something. She wants to give stuff away. She's downsizing. You sell your property. You downsize. And I don't think, as we realize that we're coming to the end, that we're to grieve, but rather we're to celebrate. And we're to look forward to the fact that this life is temporary. These things, as we downsize, as we watch our parents and our grandparents downsize in their lives, these are indicators of our humanity. That we must not put our hope in this life. But our hope is in God, in the one who is forever. They are pointing to heaven, which is where we're traveling. So travel light. And don't attach your hope to this world. That young man had the opportunity to be one of the 12 disciples, I believe. He had an opportunity to step into a place and a calling, but he refused to let go of the things of the world. I'm not saying you should not own anything, but rather you do not place your hope in possessions, that you hold on to the world lightly. How do you do this in such a way that keeps your focus on God? You recognize what Matthew 6 teaches us, that He's the one that's in control. And so you don't have to worry about tomorrow, because He knows what tomorrow holds. What you've got to do is you've got to surrender your whole to this world. And in that, you've got to know your identity. Well, first of all, you know that your identity is that you're a traveler. The Scripture says repeatedly that we are aliens. Okay? An alien, especially right now, don't get political, but if you're an alien in this country right now, you better try to get your green card real quick. Right? Everything I say, see, because new president is going to send you back and say, reapply and come back. We're aliens. You're an alien. It says your citizenship, I'm a U.S. citizen. Your citizenship is not in the U.S. That's just your place of residence right now. You've got to know and you've got to change your mindset to know who you are. Because what you've got to know in that, in understanding that you're a traveler, is the reality is you're not with your father right now. You are a son, a daughter of the God of the universe. God is your father. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's your identity. You are a daughter of the King of the universe. Now, you can choose to believe that or not. That's your choice, young person, even older person. But you need to grab hold of that. I mean, if you believe that you crawled out of a bunch of mud, well, go for it. But that's where you'll find yourself one day, is in the mud with that kind of belief. Because you see, when you believe that way, you don't recognize that you have a purpose. You think your life is just a fluke, it's just a coincidence. But it's not. You have a God who is, you were not born by the will of man or the will of woman. You were born by the will of God Almighty. He says, come on. He says that He knew you. He knew you before you were created. Your unformed substance, He saw you. He is your God. You see, right now, you're kind of a law. This is like what was that thing that I had to go see that movie with my sisters? Annie. Oh, Lord, it was like a tribulation. You're Annie. You know, your God is going to come back and He's going to get you. Or one day you're going to leave you're going to breathe your last, because your last is just a breath. And you're going to be with your Creator and your Father God. 1 Chronicles 17, I ask the worship team to come. Verses 13 through 14, it says, I will be His Father, and He shall be my son. And I will not take my loving kindness away from Him as I took it away from Him before. But I will settle Him in my house, in my kingdom forever. And His throne will be established forever. Your identity is this. You are a daughter of the King. So you can stop worrying. Because when you're a king's daughter, what do you got to worry about? What do you got to worry about? If everything should be taken away from you tomorrow, what have you got to worry about? What you've got to know is what your identity is. You are a son of Father God. That's where your hope is. You're just traveling through. You're just on the interstate, zipping down the road. You're a traveler. But where are you traveling? I'm going to ask the deacons to come this morning to pass out the communion elements. Go and start from the front and work your way back. Thank you. Worship team's going to lead us in a song this morning. And as they lead us, and as we worship the Lord, as they pass out the elements, I want you to remember what your identity is. That you're a traveler. That you're a son and you're a daughter of the King of the Universe.